Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, February the 15th, 2017, 1:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I will tell you, if you are interested in news, if you like a crazy time, the last 48 hours are right up your alley, because here in the United States, we might have very well gone through the Alice in Wonderland looking glass in the last couple days and really don't know where we are. We talked to Senator Sherrod Brown in hour number one, and I think he was as confused as all of us are at this point. And to help us all sort that out is one of my favorite guests. We love having her on. She was a panelist on the long-running television series The McLaughlin Group. She currently writes for The Daily Beast. She is Eleanor Cliff. Eleanor, my goodness, what a few days.
Yeah, it feels more like 3 or 4 years that this president has been in office when you think of all of the disruption that he's caused. He would argue that a lot of it's been positive. I think for those of us who are watching, I think there's been a lot of creative destruction, but it's not all positive. And it's someone who's come into this thinking everything looks so easy, I can just handle it magically. And again, been running up against the real conflicts of, you know, running a great country and dealing with different branches of government that have equal power, and then in a White House, which is rife with the kind of palace intrigue and infighting that usually takes a period of months, if not years, to develop in most administrations. So it's as though the timeline has been collapsed for this administration, and he's already fighting for his political life, and he hasn't even been in office for a month.
Well, Eleanor, let's start this week, because here's the impression I got up until this week, that this was all, I don't want to say fun and games, but it was, for him, it was a game. Something would happen, and he would tweet. We would hear about Russian hacks, but he would pretty well be left in the clear. Well, this week seems a little different, and it all started with Flynn. Now, what is your read on the whole Flynn resignation, turns out to be asked to leave situation?
It seems to me that during the campaign, there was a lot of rumors that the FBI was investigating various contacts between Trump officials and the Russians. And the FBI then leaked the investigation they were working on concerning, they didn't just leak it, they went public with it. And my phone is ringing here in the background. I wish I could turn that off, but let me get to a quieter place. And so I think, you know, Flynn had these conversations, and people in the government knew that he was not telling the truth. They didn't reveal that to the White House until after the president was in office, and then President Trump kind of sat on it for a couple of weeks, didn't tell the vice president, who was immediately compromised because he had gone out and publicly defended Flynn. I think what prompted the firing was the New York Times story, which basically went public, the fact that the evidence was out there and, you know, everybody had the goods. And it was that night that the president asked for Flynn's resignation and indeed got it. But I don't think that's the end of the story. There are a lot of strings to keep pulling here. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Congress to go beyond the investigation that's now set for the Intelligence Committee, which would be behind closed doors, and probably nothing much would come of it. And you have a whole Washington press corps that's just working this very, very hard, and a lot of the Watergate-type questions are being asked, and what did President Trump know, and when did he know it? You know, did he instruct General Flynn during the transition after President Obama imposed the sanctions on Russia to basically assure the Russians that once he was in office, things would be rolled back? And why is President Trump so enamored of President Putin? And why won't he release his tax returns? And feeling is that there's something in those tax returns that will tell us something about perhaps the relationship with Russia. Anyway, there are a lot of storylines here to follow. And, you know, we have a president who doesn't take any kind of criticism at all. And, you know, I'm beginning to, you know, worry that he could be so upset. I don't know how he will react. I mean, will tweeting be enough when he's upset? That's how he's been venting through the campaign and since he's become president.
Now, Eleanor, I had a lot of questions when it came to Flynn's resignation, being told to let go. And he was the national security advisor, if people are wondering. But it was my understanding that the Logan Act maybe is not even relevant anymore, and that this would not have even broke the Logan Act, what Flynn did. If that's the case, then why, when he was asked, when the calls were found out that he had made those calls in December, why did he lie about it?
Yeah, and as somebody who's been high up in the military, he must have known that the other side of his calls were being monitored. The NSA can't monitor Americans on the phone, but they do monitor foreign, especially representatives of a government that's kind of hostile to us. So he must have known that somebody out there knew what he had said. Why did he lie? I don't know. Is he protecting President Trump in some way? As I went to the briefing yesterday in the White House, and when Sean Spicer, the press secretary, exited the briefing room, a reporter yelled out, "Did Flynn sign an NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement?" I don't know that that would be relevant in this case, but the point is, now that Flynn has been let go, will, you know, he begin talking at some point to try to save his reputation? Maybe we'll know more if he does.
Well, that's one of the other big questions, is five calls in one day, and we now know they did talk about the sanctions. Is it conceivable that Flynn, who was just a private citizen then, just like Donald Trump, he was president-elect, but he was a private citizen, that he just went rogue, that this wasn't a mission, that nobody ordered him to do this, that Donald Trump could have known nothing about this?
You know, Flynn is such a blabbermouth, it seems to me, and he spent so much time with Trump on the plane. And remember him in the rallies, leading the chant with Hillary, "Lock her up." I can't imagine he's that great at keeping secrets. So it's hard for me to think that he would be having these conversations without telling Trump what he was doing. And he's not the only one who had contacts with various Russian officials. You had the former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, and another gentleman, I guess, his last name is Page. And then Roger Stone, who's been kind of a dirty trickster going back to the Nixon days, he was also a go-between. And again, the FBI had apparently opened an investigation even during the campaign, looking into these connections, and in the context of the Russians trying to disrupt this election. It didn't come to fruition, I think, because everybody thought that Donald Trump was going to lose. And President Obama even went public, or had some of the top security officials told reporters that the Russians were trying to influence the election. And it was below the fold in the newspaper, because on the day that they revealed that was the day that Access Hollywood tape came available, and of course the press spent most of its attention looking at that. But again, it's all against the context of nobody thought this guy was going to win. And so, you know, if people realized what a serious contender he was, you know, the press would have been more on these issues, perhaps the intelligence agencies would have been. He's now in open conflict with the intelligence agencies. Remember, at one point he compared them, you know, to Nazis, I think it was. You know, and I try to step back from this. And you know, I came to Washington when Jimmy Carter was president, And Jimmy Carter, a totally different personality, obviously, than Donald Trump, very well-intentioned, but he was devoured by sort of the institutions of Washington that never accepted him, including the liberals in his own party. And I'm now looking at Donald Trump, and he's this embattled individual. He still has the support of the Republican Congress, but I'm wondering, how much they can take. Depending where this leads. They're much closer to the vice president than they are to Trump. And one of the lead stories in the Washington Post today was how Pence had been out of the loop, and another Watergate analogy, left hanging to dry. The fact that this is all happening within the first month of the administration, maybe we shouldn't be surprised given the chaotic campaign. But, as you point out, it may have looked like a game to Donald Trump initially, but, there are some really serious consequences to all of this if he can't get his administration back in order.
Well, and one of the things, another question that came up after Flynn had been let go was, even if Trump didn't know, let's say we don't know it to be fact yet, that he knew that Flynn was making these calls back in December. Okay. Then when he found out, why did he sit on that for 19 days until the press made it a story?
Well, Sean Spicer tried mightily to explain that yesterday, basically saying, well, he was doing other things. He was staffing his government. He was signing executive orders. This was not the only thing on his mind. And that he did act in the sense that he asked the White House lawyer, the White House counsel, to investigate this and see first if there was anything illegal. And the counsel determined that there was nothing illegal, and the Logan Act, that hasn't been used to prosecute anyone for a very long time. So there was nothing illegal in his having these conversations with the Russians, particularly during the transition when he was the national security designate and was supposed to be reaching out to his counterparts. I mean, that's their story. But then when they began to question Flynn about what actually was said in these various phone calls, his recollections would change, and he went from totally denying he even raised the sanctions to then saying, well, he couldn't really remember, maybe he did. And so that, the way the White House frames it, that eroded the president's trust in him, that one, he was changing his story, and two, do you really want a national security advisor who can't remember significant details of these kinds of conversations? So that's how they tell the story. That's the timeline that Spicer put out. He also said, why isn't anyone focusing on the delay at the Justice Department? Because Sally Yates, who was the acting attorney general who Trump later fired over the immigration order defiance, that she was told, I think on January 13th, maybe it was, about what the information that the NSA had. And she waited several days before giving the White House a heads up. So Spicer was trying to say, why aren't we looking at that? Well, I think the answer there is that Sally Yates was talking with the FBI director, Comey, and I think it took Comey a while to decide that he wanted to give the White House a heads up. So, the role of the FBI in this is fascinating, because where are these leaks coming from? I think a lot of them are probably coming from former FBI agents who have knowledge of what's going on.
And that is kind of how the administration made it through yesterday. And then 10 o'clock last night, seems to be that hour, 10 p.m. Eastern time, here comes the New York Times, and we now know that Manafort, who was Trump's campaign, or was running his campaign this past summer, right, and Flynn were talking quite frequently, among other people, were talking quite frequently with Russian intelligence to a point to where it was odd to the CIA that this was going on, and they started to pay attention to it. What do you think that's all about?
Well, Paul Manafort got very rich with working for the former government in Ukraine, and I think he had business dealings in Russia. You had that one comment from, I think it was Eric Trump, a couple of years ago, about how much of his father's business is based on or goes through Russia, and then now they deny they have any business dealings in Russia. And Manafort is quoted saying, well, not everybody who works for the Russian government, wears a badge that says they're an intelligence agent. And he is now saying that inadvertently he may have talked to people involved with the intelligence agencies. So I think our CIA and our FBI are following some pretty interesting leads about this. And then remember that sort of scurrilous dossier that came out that I think BuzzFeed printed and got some criticism for that. There are parts of that that now seem to be validated. So this is an ongoing story, and it will not end until we know why Donald Trump repeatedly speaks so highly of Vladimir Putin and why he won't release his tax returns. I think those are two very key questions.
Well, and that becomes the big question, because early on, when people said, why doesn't Trump release his tax return? People said, well, why should he have to? He shouldn't have to just because other people have done it. Well, he's getting accused of mm-hmm. some pretty heavy-duty things now. Wouldn't it behoove him, if he was clean, to let these out? Wouldn't that kill a lot of this story?
Yeah. Having watched other White Houses, when they are in crisis like this, they get together and they think, how do we make a clean breast of this? How do we get out as much as we get out? Do we appoint a commission? That's always, that's how the Clintons stumbled into the whole Ken Starr thing, because they tried to get a commission started so that they wouldn't be spending every day fighting over Whitewater and its implications, which is a failed land deal. But usually White Houses come up with some sort of strategy. This White House, to the extent it has a strategy right now, is probably just to get through the next few days. But to immediately name General Flynn's successor, and apparently they've offered the job to this retired admiral, who apparently has a shaved head and looks like the Navy SEAL he once was. People speak very highly of him, but he kind of looks the part, which is what Donald Trump loves. We're always on the set of The Apprentice, I think. But to then have a hoopla of over appointing him. But they're not going to be able to burn this. And I don't know whether the answer is a more open hearing on Capitol Hill. I can't imagine this administration appointing a commission. The Congress could pass a law creating a commission. I can't see the Republican Congress doing that. But, at some point, they've got to ask themselves, how do we get to what this president's agenda is, which was repealing and replacing Obamacare and a big tax reform bill. The infrastructure project, I thought it was rather telling that yesterday the president said that the dam in California that was threatening to burst, he called it a textbook example of why we need a massive infrastructure bill. Well, is someone at the White House, do they have a legislative shop that's working on details? Are they, I don't think anybody's doing any of the real work of governing. This is all at the surface, and it's all these surface dramas. And if he's going to be measured, I think that Stephen Miller said over the weekend that this president has accomplished more in 3 weeks than most presidents do in 8 years. I'm sorry. not if you count legislative activity. At, by this point in Obama's term, he did have the stimulus bill passed, which helped America dig out of the big recession.
Eleanor, I asked Senator Brown earlier on this question when he was on, because this is the question I get asked when I'm out in a restaurant or doing something around the community. They say, is it just a coincidence that Trump didn't release his tax returns, that the polls were wrong for the first time, that his campaign was talking to Russia frequently, that his security advisor had to leave because he lied about what he was talking to the Russians about, that Trump never speaks ill of Putin, that they were talking about sanctions. Is this just all one big coincidence?
No, I don't think it's one big coincidence, and I think the Russians are rather skilled at sowing misinformation, and today's world of social media is very receptive to that. And, you know, exactly why they determined that Donald Trump would be better for them than Hillary Clinton, I think we don't know the answer to that one yet. And I think we will know eventually. But who could have imagined that the first crisis of this administration would be over its involvement, and whether it was illegal or improper, with a foreign adversarial power. In past days, that might have called that, being a betrayal or a tyranny of some sort. I mean, it's really quite extraordinary.
What everybody woke up this morning saying, that I kept seeing on all the news shows, is if Donald Trump did know, if we find out that he knew about or gave the order for Flynn to call Russia and talk about the sanctions, if he knew what was going on during the election, and we find out that they were coordinating with Russia to help beat Hillary Clinton through the hacks, has he done something illegal enough to lose his position?
Well, impeachment, it's high crimes and misdemeanors. I think that his behavior, if all of that were proven, I think that is an impeachable offense. But impeachment starts in the House of Representatives. The Republicans control the House of Representatives. And they, you know, as Jason Chavez, who heads the House Oversight Committee, he has shown no interest in examining any of the activities so far. And other Republicans have made similar comments that now with Flynn gone, the situation has taken care of itself. So we are not there yet where Republicans would join Democrats in demanding that this president be ousted because of this behavior. But, you know, I think that it's not out of the question. And, you know, Democrats kind of fantasized all along that, oh, you know, he would be impeached. And, you know, I've gone to dinner parties where people take bets as to how long he'll last in office. And I've kind of resisted that, but this is a slippery slope, and it could lead to his removal from office. I think that's not out of the question.
In the end result, I laugh because it sounds so bizarre, because he hasn't even been in office 30 days yet. What? Right. Why do this? What in the world could have possessed him? I mean, like you said earlier on, Flynn had to know those lines were being tapped. I would think Manafort knew they were being tapped. I would think Trump might have a suggestion or an assumption that they were being tapped. Why do this? What gain in it was there, except The only thing I can come up with is if we believe that in the dossier, that does Putin have damaging evidence on Trump? I don't know what the other explanation could be.
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of point in that direction. The other thing is that this is a man who has lived on such a grand scale for so long, who got a kind of a national reputation, claiming that Barack Obama was born in Kenya and had a phony birth certificate, how could he think he could have gotten away with that? And in the end, he didn't. But look at the movement he created on the right, I think, based on that. So, and he is a man, I think, who thinks along, you know, drama and plot lines and he's not a normal politician. And I'm not so sure he thinks ahead to the possible consequences. And I think he's pretty ignorant of how government works. And, I think still thinks he can dismiss the media as, you know, fake news and, you know, crooked reporters and all of that. I think he's overestimated his power. Now, during the campaign, we all underestimated his power. He wouldn't be where he is today. And so I think he still thinks that, as he once said, he could stand on middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot someone and his supporters would still be with him. So far, his support is holding up among his base, but he is losing independents and, you know, people who were not Trump converts to start with. So I think he's on pretty thin ice politically.
Three quick questions here, Eleanor, that I want to get in because people are curious about these. Number one, today we find out that there was a kind of a dilapidated rule that would have allowed us to see his tax returns, but Republicans have blocked the Democrats from allowing that to happen. Why are Republicans defending his right not to show the tax returns?
Yeah, this is a rule that forced some information out about Richard Nixon, I think. And you can do it through the Ways and Means Committee, and a New Jersey Democrat wrote a very interesting op-ed about how to do it. Because Republicans, they control everything. They now want to get their wish list accomplished. You know, they just want somebody in the White House who'll sign his name and pass the legislation they've had bottled up for the last 8 years. So they're not ready to really go after Donald Trump yet. But I think the pressure from the public, and at some point, if the public stays as engaged as has been in the last weeks, and these are not just Democratic activists who are out there, I mean, people really are worried about losing their health care, and they do think Planned Parenthood being defunded. So I think there are real policy issues, and his behavior as it's coming under the spotlight, public pressure could force the Republican Congress to at the very least get him to release his tax returns. I think that's really the only weapon that we the people have.
Another question that's very big right now is Pence was a part of this campaign, and it was often mentioned that he was really embroiled in this campaign. Now, maybe he didn't know what was going on behind the scenes, but he knew the accusations were there. He knew that Donald Trump hadn't released his tax returns, and I assume he hasn't seen them either. He knew that Flynn was kind of in good with Vladimir Putin. He knows that Trump is not speaking ill of Putin. Is it really conceivable to believe that Pence did not know these many, many, many phone calls were going on during the campaign, and that this whole thing with Flynn that happened in December just it totally was oblivious to him?
Yeah, I'm not so sure that he knew what was going on, and his spokesman has made a point of saying that he didn't know that the White House had gotten this warning about Flynn. And, you know, Pence, he kind of arrived kind of late. I mean, he wasn't there for all of the primaries. He was running for governor in Indiana. His poll ratings weren't very good. There was some question he could even win re-election. Trump was having trouble getting anyone to sign on with him to be his running mate. And Pence was kind of this squeaky clean social conservative that pleased the evangelical base that Trump needed very badly to show up on election day. And so in retrospect, the appointment of Pence as his running mate was brilliant, because it did solidify the social conservatives behind Trump, despite his checkered background. And, you know, Pence seems to me that he's more plugged into Paul Ryan and the congressional Democrats, and he's trying, I think, very hard to keep a little bit of distance between himself and Trump, and sort of the more roguish behavior of aides around Trump. You know, if this thing really does play out, he would be the heir apparent, and I don't see yet any indication that he's been tainted by this Russian stuff at all.
Final question, Eleanor. It seems in this whole whirlwind that it hasn't necessarily been the FBI, the CIA, the Senate, the Congress outwardly doing this, that the media has been breaking these stories. Because a case could be made that if somebody hadn't leaked the info to the Post, then Flynn would still be in there today. All that being said, it seems like 10 o'clock every night, a newspaper, the Times, the Post, has something new, or some television station.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's conceivable that we could find out somebody will leak what these calls were about during the campaign, that this could come rather quick? I've heard rumors that there are people, Democrats in the Senate, who are just waiting for the other shoe to drop, and they think it might before the week is out. How do you think the rest of this week plays out?
Well, that would really be stunning speed. But one of the New York Times reporters was interviewed on public radio this morning, and kind of explaining, you know, where are all these leaks coming from? And, you know, the reporters who were following this for the three major papers, the Post, the New York Times, and also the Wall Street Journal, although to a somewhat lesser extent, the reporters that are following this have long histories in covering national security. They've got sources in the government. They've got sources who were in the government. And I think the information is pretty good. And I think it's bolstered by a kind of a genuine alarm over the incompetence of the Trump administration and the temperament of the president. So, you know, if there's more to come, there's certainly an incentive for them to get it out. But the reporter that works with these people said, you know, this is not, it's not a partisan thing. It's it really has stems from more broader concerns about national security. It's also interesting that that the Russians floated last week that they might give Edward Snowden back to Mr. Trump as a gift during the campaign. Trump said, oh, I could get him back and he should be tried for treason and given the death sentence. I don't know that that Trump would actually even welcome getting Edward Snowden back at this point, because not everybody, you know, the mixed feelings about what Snowden did. He revealed some things that the American people ought to know, and yet he broke some very serious rules. So how you handle that, I don't know. But there are so many strings still to be pulled on this story. I can't imagine that there will be an ending by the end of this week. That would be a bit much.
Eleanor, it's a fascinating week, and I thank you so much for coming on. Who knows what will happen next?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye. Eleanor Cliff, The Daily Beast. Always interesting to talk with her, former panelist on the McLaughlin Group. You know, I don't know. Will more stuff happen? It seems like 10 o'clock every night something happens. And tonight is another 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock Eastern time. I think that's when papers get their stories ready for the next day, and I think that's why it's happening at that time every night, and we're only at Wednesday. It's only midweek, so who knows what's going to happen the rest of the week, but I hope that everybody can come to some kind of conclusion here and solve this in the easiest, most conducive way for this country, because we all want to do what's right. I think Democrat, Republican, Independent, we all want the right thing to happen. So hopefully that is where this will all go. We certainly hope, because it has been a swirl the last few weeks. That is without question, never anything like this since Watergate. I mean, I wouldn't even necessarily compare the Clinton scandal, because that was all personal that got Clinton impeached. But boy, oh boy, it has been a very, very bizarre time. And now we're going to go to the telephones. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, Scott. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine you would be able to make time for me today, Mr. Trump.
I really don't. Things are very, very tight right now. I've got a lot of tweeting to do. And, you know, but I love calling into your show because you're in the heartland. You're in Ohio, which is near all the other states. They're very important to me.
President Trump, my goodness, you've had a bit of a rough week, some personnel.
No, I didn't. No,
oh,
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't. Everything's fantastic. I don't know why people are saying that. Everything's great, other than the fact that Sean Spicer said Joe Trudeau, which I think I'm going to have to get rid of that guy. He's terrible. I'm going to hire Melissa McCarthy in place of Sean Spicer.
President Trump, General Flynn is no longer with you.
I didn't hear that. Is that true? This is news to me. This is why I love to talk to you, Scott. You bring me up on all the things that are happening.
Yeah, there was a little thing about him talking with the Russians.
But I don't see anything wrong with that. I think it's very important that we talk to people like the Russians. I talk to Putin every day. I talk to Putin in the morning. He says, good morning, and he says, I'm a genius. And then we call and say goodnight each night.
President Trump.
And the red phone, I turned the red phone into a white phone. That way, red is mean, and I'm not mean.
President Trump, people are calling like crazy for you to release your tax returns. Why don't we just do it?
Why would we do it now? Why would we do it now? There's no reason to do it now. There's no reason. I'm already president. And I told everybody there'll be no conflicts of interest. When I saw Eric and Don Jr. the other day, I just looked at them. We didn't even speak. So they're not giving me any information about the hotels in Kuala Lumpur, the hotels in Saudi Arabia, which, by the way, are going to be tremendous hotels, I have to tell you. And I'm very, very excited about the one in Mumbai, but they didn't tell me anything about it. I read it in the paper.
So kind of a hands-off approach, President
Trump.
Totally hands-off,
but hands-on, because that's the way I am. I'm very hands-on, but in this case, hands-off. But I don't see what's going on. Sometimes they call me, and just to get around this conflict of interest thing, they don't call me Dad, they call me Ronald Trump. That way we can kind of, because I do need to know what's happening with these properties. I mean, all my money's tied up in them.
President Trump, New York Times broke a story last night that people in your campaign, Paul Manafort, General Flynn.
Great guy, fantastic people.
We're having many conversations with Russian intelligence during the campaign.
Right.
What was going on there?
Well, I think it's very important that we're talking to Russian intelligence, because they're the intelligent people in Russia, because we don't want to talk to the dumb people in Russia. That would be a waste of time. So that's why we're talking to Russian intelligence. So I think a lot of people are misunderstanding what Russian intelligence is. It's just the smart people over there.
But during the campaign might have been trouble, because they were hacking into Hillary Clinton.
We don't know that. That could have been anybody. It could have been China. It could have been China hacking into us. It could have been some fat guy in Bayonne, New Jersey. Not Chris Christie, though. Some other fat guy hacking in. Anybody could hack. You know what I mean? These people do this they do these hackathons and things like that. And my son Baron with the cyber, very smart with the cyber. I walked into the room and he's on the cyber doing the thing on the computer. He's quite smart, I have to tell you.
How is life at the White House, President Trump?
Well, it's tremendous. It's kind of like Trump Tower, but it's flat, you know, because my Trump Tower is 50 stories high, but this one's just really long and wide.
I heard
And all the guys are in the office with me all the time. There's Steve Bannon. There's Mike Pence. There's Sean Spicer. There's Reince Priebus, who I can't stand. I can't stand the guy. He's body odor. He's got to take a shower or something. I think he's nervous all the time. When I shake his hand is soaking wet, which I think is strange. And Bannon always smells of booze, but that's him.
Now, President Trump, I hear for the third straight weekend this weekend, you're heading down to Mar-a-Lago.
Absolutely, absolutely. Did you know that we are totally booked out for the next 5 years? Every time I go to Mar-a-Lago, it's like a commercial for Mar-a-Lago. Every single paper, every single cable news, every single news outlet, every single news agency covers me at one of my properties, and they go through the roof. I'm going to be golfing at all of my courses, and we're going to put the rates for the tees way up. The tee times are just jamming up right now.
But isn't that a bit of a conflict of interest?
No, Scott. That's where you're wrong. You're wrong. Excuse me. The president cannot have any conflicts of interest. People who are senators and congressmen, and I know you know this, I can't have a conflict of interest because they never build it in to being a president.
I didn't realize that. Well, that's
I have no conflicts of interest. I can basically go on QVC and I'd have no problem. And by the way, Ivanka's dresses at Nordstrom's. I am buying Nordstrom's. I'm going to rename it Nors Trump, and I'm going to put it out of business, just like I did with many of my companies and all of my casinos.
Well, I have a final question for you here, President Trump. Now, the big question we all want to know is, did you know that General Flynn was in contact with Russia, the Russian authorities, about the sanctions that President Obama was placing on Russia? Did you know
that? I had no idea. I barely know the guy. I don't even know him. He comes into my office. He sits there. I'm like, who is that guy? He has a very stern look on his face. Mike Pence looks at him, doesn't know who he is. So I didn't really know General Flynn. I like the fact that he's a general and he looks very good in a suit, but I didn't know who he was, and I certainly don't know what he does. I mean, he could be talking to anybody for all I know.
But he was with you back through the beginning of the campaign. He came up with the famous Hillary lock her up chant.
Oh, I don't think that's true. I think you're confusing him with somebody else.
Oh, I'm sorry. So what do you look forward to, President Trump? A rough week.
Oh, no, it's going to be tremendous. It's going to be absolutely incredible. I'm going to be golfing again. I love meeting world leaders. I had such an amazing time with Abe Vigoda from Japan. He was a great guy. We had a great handshake. Did you see our handshake? Tremendous. I'm such an amazing handshaker. I'm a great saluter. I'm a great executive order signer. Nobody signs executive orders like me, I have to tell you.
I've heard that. And we should mention, President Trump, thank you so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, Scott. I love talking to you. Hit me with these hardball questions, but yet we still remain friends. Unlike other people in the media.
Absolutely. And of course, we should mention that this is not President Donald Trump, but it comes pretty close. John DiDomenico, and on Monday, President's Day, just right around the corner, there's something very special going on The View. Right, John?
That's right. I am going to be on The View with Daryl Hammond and obviously all the ladies of The View, but I'll be doing Donald Trump on The View. So it's going to be very exciting. I'm going to reach a massive audience of like 15 million people, and I get to do a couple of minutes of comedy in full Trump regalia.
Now the ladies of The View, especially Joy and Whoopi, are not fans of Trump. Did they have some fun with you?
Terrible, terrible people, I have to tell you. Bad hombres and nasty women. No, they were very, very sweet to me. And obviously, you know, they do their thing. But, you know, I appreciate the fact that they've given me a platform to do Trump and have a little fun on the show. And, it's one of these things where I try not to, like, everybody has their own political view. So I don't worry about it. I just do my thing.
Now, when you do Donald Trump, do you think of him, are you doing Donald Trump from The Apprentice, or are you doing a politician?
Well, no, I'm not doing a politician. I'm doing this person who's a very dynamic personality who has changed significantly in the last 18 months from the time that he's announced. So I really try to keep up with him and keep up with his changes, his vocal changes, his physical changes, how he sees things, how he interprets the world. Those are the things that are that I try to focus on. I don't think of him politically, because I've been doing him for over 12 years, and you know, obviously a majority of that time he wasn't the president. So I'm just trying to focus on his personality, how he reacts to things and reacts to the world. Unlike somebody like Bill Clinton, who was, that's all he's ever done, has been a politician. So he thinks in a different way. Trump doesn't think like a politician. Trump thinks like a business person. And, you know, you can see his frustration when things don't go his way.
Because of the person that he is, because of the person that Donald Trump is, he's in the news every night. Most presidents don't get this much press.
No, it's, you know, it's, honestly, it's remarkable. He's probably the most, what he has done for all of the news outlets, cable, print, you know, nightly news, comedy shows, even Facebook has seen this massive jump. You know, he's kind of impacted our society in a way no president has ever had before, and I doubt going forward either.
Do you think, though, oddly enough, when it's all over, when his presidency does end, whenever that happens, that it will have helped him? It certainly helped everybody else.
Oh no, it's already helped him. It's already helped him. They've upped the rates at all of his properties.
In that way, it's helped him. But I'm saying more of the press is definitely reporting some things lately that are not very positive. Mm. And hopefully things turn out okay for him. But when you see the news on him, what do you think? Do you think it's reported fairly?
I think parts of it reported fairly. You know, they're doing things a little differently. And because of that, there, you know, you've got people who are entrenched in politics in Washington, and things have been done a certain way for well over 100 years. You know, he came in to shake things up, so every time he goes to shake things up, he gets a lot of pushback. He even gets pushback from his own party, because there's certain things you can't do. And sometimes he doesn't know you can't do them, because he's not someone like President Obama, who's a constitutional scholar, or someone like Bill Clinton, who's been a politician all his life, or someone like George Bush W, who was a governor and who you know what I mean, who knows politics. You have a president who's never held elective office. No one's ever done that before. He's the first president who's never held elective office prior to being president.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and we want to mention again, John DiDomenico as Donald Trump on The View, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Monday, President's Day. John, thank you so much for calling in, as always.
All right, Scott. Good talking to you. It's going to be absolutely tremendous. The ratings are going to be huge.
Thank you, John.
See ya. Bye-bye.
And for this day, that's all for this program. Boy, oh boy, that was a lot of fun. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Stay tuned for much more programming here on WWGH.
Peace out.